Who needs podcasts when you've got Ryan Crowley, former Fremantle Dockers star, played 196 games for Freo. And the Bombers, of course, don't forget the Bombers at the end. Best and fairest at Freo. And he spent, of the 188 games he played at Fremantle, he spent 166 of those tagging Boomer Harvey, who he's sitting next to right now in the studio. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, lads, how you going?
We are great, mate. Great to have you in the program.
You don't have to be that close to
him. It's a bit uncomfortable.
It is quite tight. When was the last time you two blokes were this close?
Well, the last time we were this close, I probably wasn't this close. Brent got one over on me at Subiaco Oval. So, yeah, I feel like I need to get one back on him. So we'll get nice and close today.
I rang Ryan the other week on the He was on Perth Radio, and I rang in and just said, "Oh, you know, I know Boomer's playing football over in Melbourne. Are you, you know?" And he goes, Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what, get Boomer over here to play and I'll come out of retirement and play. And I said, yeah, this is me, mate. He's like, oh, okay, this is a bit awkward, but it was good.
Are you still playing anywhere, Ryan?
No, I'm not still playing. I played a few games last year down in the Southwest League in Perth. It's a pretty rough league. Every time I put my head over it, I had about 10 blokes trying to take it off. And then about four games.
They were my mates, by the way.
Exactly. One guy did get me pretty good. He broke my scapula in a few places. So that was the end of my game. I went into the hospital. And the guy was like, oh, I haven't seen anyone do this. It wasn't in a car accident. So, and after that, I was like, yeah, it's probably time to pull the pin.
probably time to have a spell. Yeah. Now, you're here for the EJ Whitten Legends game tonight at Amy Park, which is going to be really cool fun. Whitey's really excited about it. We're excited.
Scotty is as well.
Scotty's not as excited as you, Whitey, but that's okay. We'll work with Scotty. We've got three contestants here, three combatants tonight, Scott.
Yeah, getting ready to represent. Feel the tension in the air.
Great, the All-Stars of Victoria raising money for the EJ Whitten Foundation.
Oh, it's an excellent cause, Daniel.
Amy Park, do you like the concept of the Amy Park sort of AFLX action?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be great. Really looking forward to it. I obviously coming through, State of Origin when I was growing up was the thing for me. First game I ever went to was the 1989 State of Origin with my old man. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I was obviously there when EJ went around as well with his lap. So, just to be involved in the game, super, super happy to be involved and looking forward to getting a big V jumper, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. That's right. You've had a few of those boom along the way.
No, it's been good. I played him 1 2 years ago in the EJ Whitten game, and it's just, you know what it is? It's good to catch up with the players that you used to play with, used to play against, and it's obviously all about raising money, which is a great foundation, and they do a great job. So this year's going to be different with the AFLX style, but looking forward to it as well.
We've got a bit to talk about. Come back to the EJ game, but there's plenty happening at your former club, Fremantle.
Yeah, a little bit.
At the moment, right? What's going on there? What are we going to do? Who's going to coach?
Yeah, well, I think the word around town has been Justin Longmuir. Obviously played a fair bit of footy with Justin. Really smart guy when I was playing with him. He obviously then moved into coaching. He was only at Fremantle coaching for a year or two and then moved on. He seems to be good reports coming out of there. I know there was a lot of noise about the Ross Lyon decision, but I thought it was all media generated. Ross doesn't have the greatest relationship with some of the media in Perth, and I honestly thought it was just coming from that. So I was probably more shocked than anybody when it happened. And mate, they've got a good record at keeping things quiet. The footy club when they're going to do things, don't they? And even when Ross came in, there was obviously a fair bit of secrecy with that. And the people inside the footy club are the last people to know, and it felt like that was pretty similar with this decision.
There's a shift in the coaching styles now, isn't there? Because Reece Shaw gets the job. David T gets the job. Yep. If Justin Longmuir gets a job, it's that new young brigade coming through, and the Ross Lyons and the Mick Malthouses, they're all gone.
It's good to see. Ryan, do you think now that it's done, it's the right call? Or
I'm a big Ross fan, and everybody knows that. I feel people got real short memories in football, and that's... that's been like that for a long time. But Ross, I think if you look at the start of the season when he had his best 22 on the park, they were very competitive. You lose an Alex Pierce, you lose a Jesse Hogan, you lose a Rory Lobb, but Luke Ryan, Nathan Wilson, they had just a plethora of guys going in and out of the side all year. And my issue at the start of the year with their team was their depth. And their depth was tested and it didn't pass. So I feel like if you look at their body of work at the start of the year, I thought they were way in front of where I thought they'd be. When I was looking at their list at the start of the year, I thought they were going to finish 15th, 16th. So,
yeah, okay.
But it's more his personality, isn't it, that they're sort of getting rid of? Shadow of Ross. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because the way that people see Ross outside the footy club is completely different to the way they see him inside. He's one of the funniest people you'll ever meet. If you're doing the right thing by him, you're... your toe on the line. He'll back you until the end of time, and that's what you want from a coach. And I love him, and a lot of his players do love him. There's obviously some people he rubs the wrong way, and we've seen that with some stuff Shane Kirsten said. But you're not going to be everybody's favourite, are you?
Well, that often happens. The ones that play a lot of footy under you often fall in love with you, and the ones that sort of are in and out on the fringe a bit, they're the ones that have a bit more of a beef with you. That's just footy. Exactly. Doesn't matter what level of footy that is. That's just footy and coaches and players and the relationships that occur.
I've been dying to ask you this question. Are you comfortable with being known as the tagger? And, you know, we joke about what you were like with Boomer, but, you know, you had plenty of battles with a lot of players. Does that sit comfortably with you? And, I'll let you answer that, and then I'll say something else.
Yeah.
Should answer it for him.
I go through stages with it, to be honest. So when I was playing, I felt like the more heat that I was getting, the more people were getting in me, it was usually the better I was going. So I sort of took it as a bit of a mark of respect. But when you're walking off the plane, even just today, and this little old lady's having a go at you, I'm like, I haven't been playing for 5 years, lady. So she looked like Betty White. She was getting into me, and I was like... So, yeah, I mean, that sort of stuff. You like to think that people can see past that. And I always say this to people. I was obviously not the most talented guy going around, but if you could be a bit of a jerk for 2 hours on a Saturday and you get to play 200 games of footy, AFL footy, you'd probably do it, wouldn't you?
There would have been, I'm not sure how many players you end up playing with, but there would have been 30 or 40 players that he played with that he was their number one man. We had it with Brady Rawlings. Brady went through the phase where he was nearly the best tagger in the competition, and he was our first pick. So you don't play footy to please everyone. You play footy to please your coach and your teammates.
Well, Ryan almost made an All-Australian because of your role you played. The reason I ask you that question is I remember being at a game a long time ago. You played Carlton at the MCG. Mm-hmm. You kicked 4 goals and you were playing an offensive brand of footy. You weren't tagging. I think a lot of people forget that you actually were a good footballer, but you ended up playing a role because you did that really well in a team. But you could actually play the game quite well when you were given the opportunity. You just didn't get that opportunity very often. So that's why I did ask the question about are you comfortable in how you're portrayed?
Well, no one gets drafted as a tagger, do they? So when I come into the side, I was sort of a winger that sort of ran forward of the footy or a half forward. So, yeah, like to kick a few goals. And it's funny, you got a really good memory because I think that was probably the game that got me cemented as being a tagger. Because I actually played with Nick Stevens that day and managed to kick a few goals. And, yeah, if I've got any advice for young footballers, when you get thrust into a tagging role, don't do well at it. Because,
it's like anything.
Stuck there, yeah.
It's like anything. Well, like doing the dishes at home, like cleaning the house. You don't want to do that well.
No.
You're expected to do it forever then.
Exactly.
You don't want to do those things well at all.
What was your best niggle trick? I could ask Boomer that.
No, this is going to probably sound weird, but I used to like talking to my opponent and just like chatting with them and try and get their mind off footy. Yeah, and just general chit chat. It didn't have to be getting into them about something.
And you know what? He would whack you, right? The ball was there, he would whack you. The ball would go 150 metres away. He'd say, so what have you been up to, mate? What? Give us a spell, mate.
It wasn't personal, it was business, mate. It was business.
He was doing exactly that, trying to take your mind off of you. It was different, it was funny.
So I ask you, Boomer, when you knew you were coming up against Freo, how much thought would you put into how am I going to beat Ryan Crowley as opposed to how we're going to win the game?
So... I used to love the challenge of playing football in general, the 22 against 22. But then when you play against Fremantle and you know you're coming up against Ryan or Geelong and Lingy's going to tag you, there's little battles within the battle. So he knocked me off a couple of times. So you go back and watch the way he did it. Rightio, he's fantastic endurance. Let's just try to sprint today. You know, 50 metres at a time, stop. 50 metres at a time, you know, again. Cameron Ling, a little bit different. Next tag, a little bit different. So I used to have your battles within the battles. And you were ready to go, but it was a little bit scary at the same time because you knew you weren't going to have the free reign that you wanted and the space that you were going to get. And when you're coming up against the very good ones, you knew that you're just going to have a good night's sleep and work bloody hard because if you didn't, you're going to have 10 touches and it's just going to be embarrassing.
So from your point of view, how much did you study your opponent really closely, and how much of it was you just do the same to every guy you played on?
No, there was a lot of study went into it, and there's probably three or four teams that when the fixture come out, I just knew who I was going to be playing on. North Melbourne, I knew I was going to play on Brent. Geelong, I knew I was going to play on Stevie Johnson. Gold Coast, it was going to be Gary. So there was a few games that at the start of the season when the fixture came out, I'd look at them and I knew who I was going to be playing on. It's funny, I used to have this little, everyone used to joke about it, it was my little black book, and I used to write who I was going to play on, and I'd have my notes for who I was going to play on that week. And Matty DeBoer's been ringing me up during the year and asking for a few of those notes. Yeah, he has. He's a great guy. But yeah, I used to do a lot of study on the guys. It wasn't just rolling week in, week out. And,
yeah, it's fascinating.
So who are you looking to get arm across tonight on? You've got the All-Stars. You've got Adam Cooney, Alan Didak, Andrew Cracker, Andrew McLeod, Brad Green, Daniel Kerr, Gavin Wanganeen, Glenn Jakovich, stay away from him. Justin Kaczynski, Leon Davis, Mark Rusciuto, stay away from him. Matthew Richardson, Scott Cummings. Who are you going to go arm across against?
Well, funnily enough, I had the arm across on the plane. I was sitting next to Curry, or just near Curry. So me and Curry have actually become quite good mates. And actually, I was glad that he actually got on the plane because there was a chance he probably wouldn't. But might have a look at Daniel during the night. Yeah.
How many times did you play on him during your career?
I only played on him twice in regular season games. I reckon I was touting him up one day. We always talk about this, and then I actually done my foot and I was out for the whole season, halfway through the second quarter, and I don't know if he ended up winning the medal, but he had a really good second half. So I always say that I had him covered for the first quarter.
Well, it's going to be good fun tonight. Amy Park, the Victorians versus the All-Stars for EJ Witten Legends game. It's great to have you in the studio, mate. We appreciate your time. Good luck tonight. Have a great weekend.
No worries. Thanks, lads.
Ryan Crowley with us. Great to have him with us ahead of the EJ Witten game tonight. It's also